Let us be quiet for a moment, focusing our minds, our whole lives, on the presence of the Lord Jesus through the gift of His Holy Spirit. Lord, in the stillness of this moment, this wonderful Christmas season, we remember with deep, heartfelt thanksgiving your coming into this world to live amongst us, full of grace and full of truth, to make known to all of us the depth of your love, the depth of your compassion, by not only giving your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be born as a baby, but eventually to go and die on the cross, to redeem, to save us from our sin, in order that we might know the joy and the peace of sins forgiven and to have the assurance of eternal life. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened with the worries and the cares of this life, and I will give you rest." If you are in need of rest, of healing, of forgiveness, of renewal in your faith, open your life to the Lord Jesus and give yourself unreservedly to Him and know His peace, which passes all understanding, dwelling in your heart, in your mind, in every area of your life. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but Christmas can be a very emotional time. I received some lovely gifts this Christmas time. All of them were appreciated, valued, and will continue to be valued. But I received a gift on Christmas Eve which warmed my heart, which touched my spirit, and will live with me for a very long time. I said to a young lady, just a young girl, if I was to have a daughter, I'd want her to be just like you. And then she said to me, quite innocently, but with a smile on her face, she said, "And if I was to have a second daddy, I'd want him to be like you." You cannot buy a gift like that. You cannot wrap a gift like that. It's a gift that you treasure in your heart. You know, Christmas is a time of contrast, isn't it? It's an unending season of so many, many contrasts. It really is. I think of some of the Christmases that I have spent, and some of them I look back with great thanksgiving and great rejoicing. Some not so good and not so memorable. And I think that probably is true of your life as well. You look back with great thanksgiving and you say, "That was a wonderful Christmas. And there are other Christmases that you remember and you just want to put it to one side and forget all about it. But when I read the Bible, and you know, I can think of no better book to be reading at this wonderful season than the Bible. To be spending some extra time reading the narratives of the birth of Jesus and reading of Joseph and Mary, of reading about the shepherds, just basic, ordinary, down-to-earth people. People who were not high on the social ladder. It was these ordinary people, just very, very basic, ordinary people. People that we would never, never have heard of had it not been that God, the creator of the world, God, the creator of human civilization, chose to make himself known to these people. Joseph and Mary. Joseph, a carpenter. Mary, probably not much older than a teenager. Going about their ordinary lives when God intervened. The shepherds, just ordinary working men, not particularly liked by many in society, and yet God chose to make himself known to these working class ordinary men, people who were certainly on the lowest rung of the social ladder. In the incarnation of God coming into this world to make himself known and to live amongst us in grace and truth. He could have made himself known to some very powerful and to some very influential people. People who had the capacity, people who had the ability, people who had the resources to herald far and wide that Jesus, the Messiah, has been born in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. But no, God chose to make himself known to the most unlikely people in society. And yet, there was something about these people that immediately impacts and challenges my life. Because there is one word that sums up Joseph and Mary and the shepherds. They were obedient to the call of God upon their lives. God challenged them in ways that they would never have anticipated or expected. But when we read in Matthew, when we read in Luke, we read these words. When Joseph woke up, he did what the Lord commanded him. He responded immediately to what God was calling him and challenging him to do. Mary, she said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. The shepherds, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They were obedient. Oh, they were challenged. And I'm sure that questions were running through their mind. And yet, they obeyed the call and the challenge of God upon their lives. But then we move on in the story, as we did this morning, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And there we read of an entirely different group and class of people, the wise men. You talk about a story of contrasts. Nothing could be greater than the contrast that we see between Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, and the wise men. A risk worth taking. Who were they? Where were they from? They were probably of a priestly class, astrologers, probably from Persia, which is modern-day Iran, learned and scholarly men, and yet these men, maybe three, maybe more, we don't really know the exact number, but these men, they saw a star in the sky, an unusual event. But that star was there because it had been placed there by God, the creator of the universe. And these men decided to follow this unique happening. They must have known from what they had read, from what they had learned, that something significant was being foretold by the star that they saw in the heavens. They were not reluctant. They were not hesitant. But they decided that they must embark upon a journey that they had least expected to be a part of their lives. Was it mere speculation? Was it a random happening? No, it was all part of God's plan. And these men, learned, scholarly, educated, men of wealth, men of position, men of status, in the environment and the country in which they lived, they were to embark upon a journey that was to have implications that far exceeded anything that they could ever have anticipated. Was this a wild dream? No, it wasn't. Can you imagine the response as they told their families, their friends, those whom they associated with, that they were going to follow a star? It seemed irrational. It seemed absurd. And yet, I believe that here was the stirring of God's Spirit within their lives, that they knew that they must respond, and that they must respond immediately, without hesitation, and without any reluctance at all. And so they would prepare, and they would begin a journey. A journey that would have considerable hardships. A journey in which there would be dangers. A journey in which there would be a degree of uncertainty. But I believe that in the lives of these wise men, and wise men and learned men they were, that there was an attitude of expectancy. An attitude of expectancy that drove them forth on this long, arduous, dangerous journey, because they wanted to know what the end of the journey would result in. They were prepared for the consequences. And it raises many, many questions. And I see in these men not only obedience, but I also see a deep-seated trust. As they were leaving behind an environment in which they were comfortable, an environment in which they were safe, an environment in which they were familiar, an environment and a society in which they were respected. But they were hoping that this star would lead them to something or someone of profound significance. It was not a futile journey. It was not an empty journey. Despite all the risks, despite all the consequences, here were men who were obedient to the stirring of God's Spirit within their lives. Would the risk be rewarded? Would their obedience and the commitment they made be rewarded? But the wise men were not alone in stepping out in faith, because there was a profound faith in the lives of these men. There was a profound faith that should be an encouragement to all of us in this place of worship this morning. But the scriptures are full of people who launched out in faith. In the book of Hebrews, we read of Abraham. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, ready to go, irrespective of the consequences to himself or to his family. The wise men, ready and willing and able, with a deep commitment and faith and trust, knowing that this star, as strange as it was, would lead them to something, to someone who would have a profound impact upon their lives. And so we hear the Christmas story over and over again. We read it over and over again. But what is the impact that the Christmas story has upon our lives, year after year? Does it impact us to the point that we are ready to a life of challenge, to a life of adventure? The wise men saw a star, and with the limited knowledge they had, they responded to the call of God upon their lives. They probably were not able to articulate that this was God speaking to them. Probably were not aware that this was the Spirit of God moving in their lives. But God was at work in their lives. That God was stirring and moving them to a life of adventure in which there would ultimately be a life-transforming experience. And ought that not to be the experience of all of us as people of God? Called to a life of adventure, called to a life of challenge, called to a life where we are enriched and enabled through God's Holy Spirit to launch out into new territory, into new avenues of ministry, irrespective of the consequences. Michael Green, who died earlier this year, was an evangelist. He was also a gifted New Testament scholar. And in his commentary on Matthew's Gospel, he writes these words concerning the wise men. "I find their faith, their insight, their wholehearted search and adoring worship utterly amazing. It is one of the many surprises in the gospel. Indeed, God is a God of surprises. And those who think they can predict his actions need to think again." And in this paragraph, Michael Green concludes with these challenging words: "How sad that in many churches this element of surprise is almost entirely absent. A boring predictability governs all that happens. Oh, may we be saved from a boring predictability. May we, like the wise men, have faith and courage and a willing obedience to respond to the stirring of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. That we be part of a worshiping community that is vibrant and alive and ready to meet the challenges of proclaiming and of living out the good news of the gospel. And so, as we come close to the end of 2019, are we ready to face up to the challenges of adventure in our Christian journey? Are we ready with open hearts, with responsive minds, to follow the leading and the direction of God's Spirit within us? Are we ready, as we prepare for a new year, to examine our lives? To examine our lives internally. Am I closer to the Lord Jesus? Am I richer in my faith than I was last year at this time? Can I say with absolute confidence that Jesus Christ means more to me today than he did a year ago? Am I ready for the challenge to look at the life of Christ Church Oceanside? To ask, are we alive? Are we a vibrant, relevant, worshiping community? Are we ready? Are we able? Are we equipped under the leadership of Pastor Ryan to reach out into the wider community with the good news of the gospel? And Psalm 32 and verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel and I will watch over you. When Joshua was faced with the enormous task of leading the people of Israel into the promised land, God said to him, be not afraid. Don't be discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, will go and be with you. Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, so very different socially, culturally, intellectually, they responded to the stirring of God's Spirit within their lives. They were to embark upon a life of adventure that they had never anticipated or conceived. And their lives were richly rewarded and blessed. But I also see in the story of the wise men not only a challenge to a life of adventure, to a life of risk. For the Christian life is also a life of risk. It was a life of risk that Rosalind and I took when we left England 45 years ago to come and to live and to work in Canada's Arctic and Yukon. And even though there were difficult days, stressful times, I can say to you all that it was a journey and a risk worth taking. But also, the wise men are a challenge to thought. The wise men, they were trained thinkers. But as educated and as intellectually gifted as they in all probability were, they were limited in their understanding of why they were following this star. They were limited in knowing the consequences and the impact the end of their journey would have upon their lives, but they were determined. All they were determined, irrespective of the consequences of their journey, irrespective of the hardships and the dangers that they would face, we want to know, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We have come to worship him. We want to know, and we will not be deterred in our journey. And the question is, do we want to know more about God? Do we want to have a greater enrichment of our relationship with Jesus in order that we are ready to face all the challenges, irrespective of the consequences, in being courageous in proclaiming the good news? There is an ever-growing need in the life of the Christian church for well-trained and well-equipped disciples of Jesus Christ. A bishop in Uganda said a long time ago, and we heard this while we were there, and our 6 visits to that country to teach church leaders, that it is relatively easy to get people to make a commitment to Christ. But it is a different story when it comes to equipping people to become effective disciples of Jesus Christ. We have to be ready to read, to mark, to learn, to inwardly digest God's word. We cannot be satisfied with a casual reading or glimpse of his word. We must read it. We must study it. We must apply it to our lives in order that we can make an effective proclamation and defense of the gospel. We must be able to defend the unshakable truths of the Christian faith. Truths and teaching that offer hope, direction, and certainty in troubled and uncertain times. And so I ask you, as I ask myself this morning, can you with confidence tell your friends, tell your family, the people you associate with on a daily basis, why you are a Christian? Can you do that? Can you tell your family, your friends, and the people you associate with daily why you believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? That there is no other Savior, that there is no other way to God. And let us never be embarrassed in saying that Christianity is exclusive, but it is inclusive. It welcomes all who will come and bow their knee at the foot of the cross and seek his repentance and his forgiveness. Peter wrote in his epistle, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Can we do that effectively? Can we do that confidently and with the assurance that the words we speak come from God's written word? And so, a challenge to a life of adventure, a challenge to a life of thought, a life of learning, a life of being equipped to be effective disciples for Jesus. But also the challenge to be known as a Christian. The Apostle Paul, after his Damascus Road experience, was able with confidence to say, "For me to live is Christ, to to die is to my advantage. He could also say in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 16, I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ, for it is the power of God at work. For Jew, for Gentile, for whomsoever will come. The wise men, they were not Jewish, they were Gentiles. They were outsiders, and yet they were part of God's plan for civilization, for humankind. In Isaiah, we read in chapter 60 and verse 3, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Christ for the world we sing. Christ for the world we bring. And you know, as you read the story, that their risk, the challenge of their journey, it was magnificently rewarded. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. When was the last time you were overjoyed with the good news of the gospel? On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. Can you imagine how Mary felt as these wise men, clothed in elaborate garments, bearing gifts, knelt and worshipped the Christ child she probably was holding in her arms? They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Oh, this should warm our hearts. It should encourage our spirits, and it should motivate and drive us to worship him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They offered lavish gifts for a king. And along with Joseph, Mary, the shepherds, they worshipped and believed because they knew. They knew that they were in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and their lives would never be the same again. And so, this morning, this last Sunday of 2019, how is God challenging you as a Christian? How is the Lord challenging us as a worshiping community at Christ Church, Oceanside? Are we ready for the challenges, for the risks of daring to be different for Jesus? Are we ready and willing to raise the flag and to boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ is the way, is the truth, and is the life, and that no one can come to the Father, but they come through him? How ready, how willing, and how available are we to respond to the stirring of God's Holy Spirit within our lives? And so, where are the disciples of Jesus who, like Joseph and Mary, the shepherds and the wise men, who will be committed to being ambassadors for Jesus Christ? He who is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And as we had read to us from Psalm 72, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen.